Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
Let's go. Wait, see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 203, here as always with the feverish Fanero.
What up, Swags?
How's it going?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I am great. We are still Wavy Davies with the baby.
Wavy Davy with the baby. Yes, he's we're sans David Wright this evening once again. I know we teased that he was coming back soon, and we believe he's still coming back soon, but we had some baby issues.
We brought on Space Pen this evening to take his place.
By the way, I'm going to call this episode 204 because I believe it is 200.
What did I say?
And you said 203.
It is 204.
Now it's official. Swagzilla Zero G has said it is 2004, therefore it be.
I knew that before the show started.
Before?
Yeah.
Nice.
Look at right here. Look at in our screen. Rookie Fever 204.
You totally knew it was 204.
Yep.
Yeah. I see that now.
But,
and, you know, everybody else knows.
Always changing things on the fly here at Rookie Fever. Some horrible news this week.
Oh, do we have to?
We have to really quick. Travis Etienne. Out for the season, worst case situation with the list for surgery. I'll say like this because I thought about you quickly with Cam Akers. You were quick to buy some Cam Akers for that first round pick. I remember, like, how do you feel about this situation here with Travis Etienne and his future outlook?
I mean, it should be even better, right? So when I hopped on Cam Akers, we don't have a lot of history on his injury. And with the Liz Frank, I think there's plenty of history. I think we see Etienne next year, full and strong, being injured this early. With that being said, I think it was a little less alluring for me because there's less doubt, but I was seeing him moved for a first in a couple different leagues straight up. I would do that. I did not make any moves. Did you?
I did not.
Yeah. I didn't do anything.
It was more like maybe I can get some more James Robinson.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually was looking to move my James Robinson shares because I had already kind of moved on from him in a way. Not that like I actually did and make any trades to move Robinson because I didn't think the value was there with a first round rookie coming onto the team. So I figured, you know, he has value on my team. You know, I'll hold him. But now I feel like it's a great time to move on from Robinson, if you don't need him. Like, again, on a couple teams where I own Robinson, I'm happy that, you know, he's going to get the volume he got last year, or maybe will. There's a lot of Carlos Hyde talk out there now.
I might, unless you really want to get into this, I might pause you.
I know, you're the other way, right? You want to buy it.
In those thoughts and mm-hmm. see how you feel about James Robinson in a couple weeks before we're kicking off the season.
Because you're going to love it.
I don't know. I can hear both sides of what you're saying, actually, and like kind of moving on.
Like I said, the places where I had Robinson, I had already prepared myself to be without him. So in other words, I either made moves or I'm comfortable with my team where he was just like an inseller and seller every piece. Now that I don't need him as much. I mean, don't you think you could get something decent back for Robinson this year?
I do. I mean, I don't know what that something is or what exactly you want, but I feel like
that's
we
the key.
Kind of have something decent in James Robinson already. You know, it's not quite that same feeling as like Sony Michel going to the Rams, which you like that one. Like, I definitely want to try to get something for Sony if I can, kind of. But with James Robinson, I feel like we just really seen something in what he can do in that offense. And now it's just him and Carlos Hyde. I feel like we know more about James Robinson today.
Sure.
Than we knew about Travis Etienne yesterday. And now not having this first round pick there, I feel pretty good about James Robinson.
And then you play the other side. It's like, yeah, I feel great about James Robinson this year. And I have the same problem or concerns I had this year when Etienne was healthy. I'm going to have those all over again in 2022. So if I can move him for a first now, when I was already building.
You'd move him for a first? That's,
I think so, yeah. Yeah. And I think I would I haven't
sent that much to try to get him, to be fair, to your point.
I think I could get a first. It has to be the right team, clearly. Because now a team thinks they have RB1 upside.
Yeah.
And if you have RB1 upside for even a single season at the running back position, and he's not going away next year, you still have, you know, like he's still absolutely good. And if he is, holy shit, if he is an RB1 this season, that he cements this role even more. This whole narrative of making him a Cinderella story, a one season and push him over kind of guy goes away after two solid seasons of RB1s. You know what I mean? Like that, it's a little harder to push him aside. So if you believe, and I know you're one of those people, if you believe that he can come out and repeat as an RB1, I think he has to. I don't think I move him for less than a first.
But
I think I would move him for a first if I had the right team.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide if I'd pull the trigger
or just hold.
Keep him on my team and try to move a more valuable running back, I think, at that point. Is probably the move that I'm trying to make because it made me feel that much better at the position if I already have James Robinson. So I might try to move somebody that is more eye appeasing to some people and split the stocks a little bit of a different way. My thing with James Robinson is very, very few of us, including myself, have much at all invested into James Robinson. Most people either got him for free last year, or then in their startups this year, they started to get him late because Travis Etienne was the perceived valuable player on that team. So James Robinson was dropping in drafts again. The people that have the most baked into the cost of James Robinson are the people that maybe traded T. Higgins for James Robinson at one point in the season last year or in the off season before Travis Etienne there. The people that have the most baked into those James Robinsons are the ones that believed and made a big move to acquire him via trade. But a lot of us don't have much invested in him. So I look at it, I completely see both sides of it. Even with Travis Etienne there, I didn't ever lose value on James Robinson.
Right.
I lost like value that I could have gained in a trade. So I do see what you're saying for moving him that way, but you never really lost by having James Robinson. But I do because see of how your you got side him, of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like just to give you some context and then we can move on. But like I have Robinson on a team where I also own Aaron Jones and Alvin Kamara. So it's great, you know, it's outstanding to have Robinson on that same team. I'm not going to lie, but I also believe that this team can win without him. I have strong wide receivers that I want to start, and you know, I feel like Robinson's just going to be one of those pieces where I was like, well, like you said, I got him for nothing, I can convert him for a first now because of this situation. He was worth a first before Etienne got drafted, sure, but if you didn't move on then, because you were holding on, hoping they didn't draft a running back to replace him. You were holding on to that hope, and then it happened. I feel like you're the owner that is going to be like, oh, wait, here's my second chance.
Yeah, and I think that's why I'm trying to go out and acquire him is to play that side of it.
Sure.
But I haven't tried to pay a first either, to your point. Right, so maybe I should. I don't have a lot of firsts in 2022.
Same here, dude.
The thing is, like, for your team, and I know what you're saying too, but I think if I'm you, this is what I'm doing. I'm taking Kamara, and I'm trying to go get my guys, Dobbins or Swift plus.
Right.
And I'm moving on that way, and I'm feeling like I have a secure starter in Robinson to buy me some time in making a move like that and getting that plus. And I'm doing the same thing with Aaron Jones, but I probably can't get as big of a plus as I can with Kamara still today, who's 26 in an offense that is rapidly changing. We don't know exactly how it's going to be. And if we want to talk about lost value, like those are the, like the Dalvin Cooks, the Kamaras, the Break My Heart, the Chubbs, those are the next guys we have to start to move on from because of, they're at like an ultimate peak value. But
right.
Too far into this.
I mean, it's a huge casualty for rookie fever. I mean, I was really looking forward to seeing Etienne play this season, and
Same,
I wanted to see how he's going to be used and how he's going to be used in that offense and how he's going how Trevor Lawrence and that relationship was going to grow. And you know, to wait a whole year for that is rough. I mean, it just is. It's really rough.
I don't want just a first for Travis Etienne, but
yeah,
I can also see where it's fair too.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
So another one we talked about a little bit before the show was Terrace Marshall and the Robbie Anderson contract.
Yeah, I really wanted your reaction to that. I purposely did not reach out to you in any way, shape, or form about this because I really wanted to talk about it on the show. So Robbie Anderson, I'm sure you all know by now, was extended 2 years, so he won't be a free agent until 2024. He also received a pretty good contract of $29.5 million. So the team is obviously telling Robbie that they're invested for sure. I didn't look at the contract closely. And when I get your reaction, I'll take a peek at it and see if it's front loaded. It probably is. It's only a 2 year deal.
Dollar guarantee in there.
Yeah. So like, again, front loaded. But what are your feelings with Terrace Marshall?
I mean,
and that commitment, like for 2021, does it just shake you a little bit? Because Robbie Anderson wasn't going anywhere this year, right? We all knew that.
I think if it doesn't make you revisit things or even just things we should be talking about more anyway, the fact that Robbie Anderson is playing with his college coach in Matt Rhule and somebody that heavily recruited him to play alongside DJ Moore there last year. And then you look at the fact that really some of the chemistry and Robbie Anderson breakout started with the Jets and Sam Darnold, and now he's getting his quarterback there. I mean,
excellent.
Robbie Anderson, Terrace Marshall aside, is an absolute dynasty value in a half. Like I was doing a startup recently, the one I've talked to you about a couple of times. My first wide receiver I drafted in the 12th round was, and I can show you, Finero, was Robbie Anderson.
Oh, wow.
And that was before the news of this contract. And I just think he's kind of being overlooked a little bit because of DJ Moore and obviously the rookie Terrace Marshall. But I think that in the long run, this will help a wide receiver like Marshall. But I mean, he's obviously the third to fourth option on the team after McCaffrey.
Yeah. And there is some uncertainty with the quarterback. There is some uncertainty with a rookie. There is, you know what I mean? There's a lot to not like all of a sudden. And it's weird. It's one contract, but all that stuff still existed. We don't know how Darnold's going to be. He was not successful as a Jet, but there was a lot of reasons a lot of Jets weren't successful. So I'm willing to give him a mulligan. I liked the talent coming out. I like his weapons. I like his situation. And I agree with you. I think people were just moving on from Robbie because it was just 1 year. And in all fairness, like after a wide receiver leaves a team, like very bad things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he's there for at least two full years this year and next year does change things for me. But that doesn't mean Marshall can't have a very good, quote unquote, rookie season. Also, sure. Again, a red zone threat. If he's getting touchdowns, he's going to get, you know, popularity in this community. So, I mean, it's not like he's dead and buried. I'm not saying that, but I love that you're reevaluating it yourself. And it seems like, you know, you're seeing that, it might be a longer road for Terrace.
Yeah. And the bright side, I mean, Robbie Anderson, McCaffrey, obviously, and DJ Moore are going to be taking some serious coverage. So Marshall could be incredibly efficient with his opportunities that I think he will get. I think he'll probably be the third wide receiver on the team and has a bright future.
Yep.
I think like we were speaking of Rondale Moore last weekend, though. I think that there's easier days to pry him from the teams than there are today.
Yep, I agree. Let's talk about that Sony trade. So Sony goes to the Rams, and because we talked about that a little bit, and there's two guys, there's two rookies that I think that maybe I was a little too low on, and it's Zach Wilson and Ramondre Stevenson. I've been saying for a while that Stevenson's going to get redshirted, and I think I'm not saying that Stevenson is running away with his job or competing with Harris this year. That's not where I'm going, but you are going to see him. He's not going to get redshirted. I'm convinced by that. And because of the Sony trade, I do think we're going to see some Stevenson this year. And
yeah,
that's fun. That's interesting. So I really was off of him, Swags. Like he just wasn't on my radar in any shape or form because he was a value, or at least now in hindsight, I would say he was a value. And Zach Wilson is having a nice little preseason, accurate, very surprising to me on what he's doing. I will take the Green Bay contest with a grain of salt, though. And all these preseason games, I know we want to say it's just preseason, but this preseason in particular with the three games instead of the four, every team is playing it completely differently. Some teams are starting all their starters. Other teams are starting all their third strings.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with the Jets and Green Bay. Green Bay's defense was a third string defense. So yeah, Zach Wilson's going to look good. Everyone was saying before the game even started, Zach Wilson's going to look good because he's playing against people that aren't even going to be on the team. So take everything with a grain of salt. But Zach Wilson's preseason, not his game versus Green Bay, has been really solid. And
let me ask you this, yeah, and we haven't seen a lot of Elijah Moore, so I want to
it sucks that he missed
put
this
that
game
out there before I ask you this question. But with him not out there, without seeing a lot of Jameson Crowder out there, it just looks like everything is going to Corey Davis, like that first read, that big body. Are you a little bit nervous that that's the way it's going to play out into the season?
Oh, well, yeah. No, I think Corey Davis is going to be the wide receiver one on this team. I don't think I ever felt any way different. I didn't think a rookie was going to steal it from him. What I did think, and this already didn't happen, is I did think Crowder was going to move on, and he didn't. I did think, even with Crowder there, that Elijah Moore in a preseason was going to beat him out, and he hasn't had a preseason, so that's not good.
Yeah,
I now have Elijah Moore, and I'm not saying he's going to have an A.J. Brown second half, but that is the trajectory of success I see for him, which is a really rough, kind of bumpy first eight games. And that last eight games is when we're going to see what I think the potential of Elijah Moore is. I think that's when he beats out Crowder. I think that's when he looks good. I think that's when he's clearly the number two on this team and maybe even the 1B.
Yeah, I think that's fair. 1B. I think that, and I hate to keep doing this too, and like I just got all over Robbie Anderson, who I've never really been high on, to be honest with you.
But I agree. Mean, me neither, man.
Then you look at Corey Davis, though, and I have quite a decent amount of Zach Wilson, and I've been trying to get that Elijah Moore and Zach Wilson stack to no avail. And then I'm like, why haven't I just been trying for this Corey Davis and Zach Wilson stack instead? Because I think that might be the one to have for year one anyway.
No, I'm excited about Corey Davis this season.
And much cheaper.
But not because of the preseason.
Right.
I'm not. That didn't fuel it.
He's only 26. Honestly,
contract. Yep, totally all of that. The reason I'm excited for Corey Davis is where Zach Wilson is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been concerned about Zach Wilson for Elijah Moore. Like I was never concerned about Elijah Moore. I was concerned about Zach Wilson. So the fact that Zach Wilson is utilizing Corey Davis, the fact that Corey Davis is going to look like he might be pretty good, my only concern is that everything changed there, right? So who knows? Who knows what we're going to get with the Jets? We've been trashing on the Jets for a year. So let's see.
So let's stay here because we wanted to start with some quarterbacks anyway this week and get a little bit into them. And Zach Wilson, we know, is going to be one of those quarterbacks that we do see start week one now. We're starting to get an idea of a few. Trevor Lawrence, we'll get to, that are going to be starting week one. But we've known Zach Wilson is going to have that job week one.
Yep.
And he's looked pretty decent, like you said, against the third string defense. How do you feel about him going into like the first few weeks of the season, though?
I mean, it's what I've been talking about. I think I was too low on him coming in. I do think that Zach Wilson might be a little better than I thought. Now I had him bust. I had him as a bust. Like, I'm convinced, and I think there's plenty of history that'll go alongside of me, that all five of these quarterbacks are not going to hit. And Zach Wilson was my bust candidate. I've mentioned Katie Flower feels the same exact way. And he was my biggest concern with Elijah Moore. So I'm excited that Zach Wilson, I don't want Zach Wilson to bust. I'm excited that he looks good in all of his time in the preseason, not just in this Green Bay game. I'm excited about his consistency. I'm not excited that he still looks 12 years old, but that has nothing to do with fantasy football. I mean, he literally looks 12 years old. I'm not kidding. Like, the guy looks 12 years old. Yeah. It's really off-putting. It's weird. But anyway, like, he's doing it, man. And, you know, there are late bloomers. I mean, Burrow had one good year, you know, Wilson had one good year. So, you know, if we're going to say Burrow is a top 10 dynasty asset at the quarterback position, we can't say Zach Wilson is a guaranteed bust because he only had one good year. But I've been on that train and I'm off of it. And I'm more open-minded about what he can do. And I'm rooting for him. I mean, I'm rooting for every quarterback in this class. I think this is the most exciting part of this class, to be quite honest, right now, is these quarterbacks. We have five quarterbacks that are going to start in the NFL, yeah, all rookies. And Rookie Fever traditionally does not talk about quarterbacks pretty much at all in the regular season. And I think it's going to be unavoidable. Yeah. You know, it's almost like we have to have a quarterback corner or something like that in our podcast during the season, because it's to ignore these five quarterbacks all season long is just going to be an injustice.
Yeah, it's tough too with Rookie Fever, and when you're trying to find all the positive traits in your quarterbacks, to try to find that like bust, like you said, and go against Zach Wilson. And I don't even want to pick one right now. Like,
I don't want to either. Like,
who's going to bust? That's just not even fun. I don't even want to be that guy. That said, it's starting to sound like more and more of a chance that maybe we see Mac Jones week one.
Yeah, versus absolutely.
The vet Cam Newton, who we've said kind of early on, like, maybe could be a cut candidate just because of his contract and the way it was built. And I just don't see Cam Newton wanting to sit behind Mac Jones, even as awesome as Cam Newton has been throughout this Mac Jones process, if we could call it that.
Yeah.
And so that's where I start to wonder what happens with Cam Newton, first of all, in his career, which is a whole nother show.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta come on a super flexible here. You're freaking busy this week.
Yeah, but any time other than this week.
No, so anyway, I'll cut to the chase. Like, do you feel like that's a good decision for Mac Jones's career? Everything else aside, like, and take it whatever direction after that. But my question is for his career.
Right. And let's start off with a quote from NBC Sports Tom Curran, who believes that Mac Jones has totally earned the Patriot starting position week one. There is no off-field reason for Cam Newton to ever take a meaningful regular season snap for the Patriots while Mac Jones is upright and able. So we have an opportunity, another opportunity for Mac Jones with some strange Newton misunderstanding with the COVID rules. And you asked me if it's good for Mac Jones. I say yes. I don't think if you remember when Mac Jones was rumored to go to, I believe it was San Fran, right? There was like some rumor about that for a while that they weren't going to go with Lance. And the argument was that Mac Jones is ready now. And I believe he is. And I do think I think it's fine, because I think the thing that the Patriots love to do is they love to ramp up their season. Like, every single Patriot offense, Tom Brady or not, really has a slow, steady progression to excellence. And I think it's really going to be hard for Mac Jones to do that in the middle of a season or at the end of a season. So I think if he's showing up the way he's showing up and it's making the Patriots have a hard decision to make, I think if it's a hard decision, you make it and have an awesome backup quarterback in Cam Newton. Now, will Cam Newton like that? Probably not. But Cam Newton knows as soon as the Patriots pick the quarterback in the first round that Cam Newton's going to have this day. Cam Newton has to know this day is coming. Cam Newton was probably told this day is coming. So does it really matter for Cam Newton, whether it's week one or week eight? I think a lot of people maybe in the beginning thought that, you know, Mac Jones could just sit for the year and that might be better for him. I think it's better for the Patriots, and I think it's better for Mac Jones for him to start week one.
Do you remember, like, isn't like $7 million of Cam Newton's contract playoffs incentive or something like that?
It might be
something crazy like that. Like, it's all.
Yeah, that sounds about that. Right. I think I remember reading something like that. So
you could see him wanting to get out of that or in a different situation quite quickly.
Yeah. What are your thoughts? Do you think Mac Jones would suffer by being thrown out there week one?
I think that whether we like it or not, no matter what people's view are on the COVID protocols, I think that it's going to go into some of the decision-making process for coaches and final roster spots. I don't think that necessarily Cam Newton is a roster cut candidate, or I think he's going to be one of the 53 with that said. But I think that the decision could come into play from some of this, you know, and just from what the team thinks is the best decision with the protocols in place, you know. And if you're all of a sudden going to have your quarterback have to be gone 5 days because of where he is because of these rules, whether you like them or not, those are, I think those are the decisions that will go into play. And I think, yes, it could affect the decision-making process. And I'm starting to feel more and more like it's Mac Jones, but I've kind of been in that camp all along.
Yep.
So I don't want to like even try to seem like that's what's my final sway either. Cause I mean, I'm on record here with you, you know, being very heavily on the Mac Jones camp, and kind of the Cam seemed a little bit cooked last year, to be honest with you. And
I think we've seen
a rookie outplay him in camp. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's very possible we see Mac Jones week one.
I think someone we're not going to see week one is Trey Lance. Did you see the Jimmy Garoppolo giggle?
No.
He was asked by a reporter. It was right after they edited the two clips together. They asked the coach if he was going to say who was going to start. And he's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. But I have an idea. And that's all he said. And then they went to Jimmy Garoppolo right after that. I was like, Jimmy, do you have an idea? And he just laughed with a big old smile. And he goes, yeah, I have a pretty good idea. And it was in a almost cocky, confident way, not in a, oh, darn, I'm not going to play. And we all thought Jimmy's going to start. So yeah. It's not about that for me. But for me, what it is about is how good San Francisco is, or how good they can be. Let's put it that way. And Jimmy's been serviceable as long as he's been healthy. The arguments have been he can't stay on the field. And, you know, I mean, wow. I mean, we've been saying it all offseason, and I just feel more and more that it could be a long time before we see Trey Lance this season.
Man, I don't know, dude.
And oh, good. Tell me different, because I want to see him.
Injuries aside, I think that Jimmy will have a short leash.
Okay,
I really fair do. Enough. And I think you put it best as serviceable. I truly believe that there were times when he was outplayed by C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins throughout the time in San Francisco, or those guys were just as serviceable, quite honestly. I think that he's just kind of meh. And there's a reason the Patriots didn't pay up what the 49ers wanted to move on from him. So I think that, I don't know if it's a trade chip or making the smart move for Trey Lance, but I think that Jimmy's going to be the vet that kind of shows him the way a little bit, but I think he'll be on a pretty short leash.
I want you to be right. I think we'll see
Trey Lance by week six.
Nice. And I'm writing that down.
Seems far away.
I'm starting that. Oh no, I would love to see Trey Lance week six. I think a lot of us want to see that. Whether you play Dynasty, you play fantasy football, or you just watch football, I think we want to see Trey Lance play.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Now, how do you feel on Andy Dalton and Justin Fields?
I keep hearing two games, and boy, does that sound dead right. It's almost like somebody leaked it. Like, I'm going to put it in the book. Like, we got week six for Trey Lance. I'm going to do week three.
Now, they haven't named their starter technically, have they?
I know, but dude, I'm telling you, Dalton's starting week one. I mean, it just seems like a foregone conclusion. Now, if that winds up being a half, if that winds up being one game and he's done, certainly possible. But we are going to see Fields early and often in this season. I'm not worried about that. Dalton is not far. He's not. I think he'll be a nice backup quarterback, nice mentor.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah,
he said it's his year.
His year to sit.
He's been disrespected. Allen Robinson said the same.
I mentioned that it had to be here. If not here, it was another pod. But I absolutely mentioned that I think Andy Dalton's getting disrespected. Mm-hmm. And I think he is. He
does here.
I think he absolutely is getting disrespected. But I think Justin Fields is a much better player. Mm-hmm. At this point in Andy Dalton's career, it's Fields really looks good this preseason. I mean, if there's going to be a rookie that makes a difference on your fantasy team in redraft or in dynasty for a single season out of all these quarterbacks, I truly believe it is Justin Fields.
Love that. So, which leaves us, I mean, if with all this positive, fun talk about the rookie quarterbacks, is that is Trevor Lawrence that bust you've been talking about? Is he that 40%?
Wow. I mean, if the number one overall pick winds up being the bust, I mean,
That never happens.
Well, I'm sorry. It never happens, but you're right. I know that's tongue in cheek. But another thing, like when you're compared to Andrew Luck, when you're called generational, I mean, this would be one of the historic busts for sure. And it might be fun to talk about. I can't go there. That doesn't mean that it could be a rough year for the Jaguars, therefore less than exciting for Trevor Lawrence. But I still have some optimism. I tend to go the other way for the most part with preseasons. Again, I think I brought this up before. Sorry, listeners, but I think preseason is when you work shit out. And if you look bad, it's because you're making mistakes and you're failing so that you learn. And Trevor Lawrence, I think, has enough confidence and enough talent to do that and pick himself up week one and play for reals.
Like, you know what I'm saying? About the team saying that they're unhappy with how Urban Meyer is coaching them and what's going on there. And are you worried about
that?
And
yes,
I mean, at that point, though, hopefully the team would be smart enough to get rid of him so they don't ruin this quarterback's career.
Correct. Yeah.
Or should I say.
Lawrence will be there longer than even a head coach. So that's not a long-term concern, but that is a 2 to 3 year concern. Yes.
Yep. And then how many offenses does he have to learn? And
that sucks, before
we get one smoothed out. And
that's what Sam Darnold dealt with.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold dealt with the same crap. Like Mitch offensive Trubisky, coordinators getting fired. It's tough.
I'm not trying to have a comp. It's hard
for any quarterback to go through that transition time and time again. I totally agree. And that very possibly could be the thing that squashes Trevor Lawrence's immediate impact, is that exactly what you just said. That absolutely concerns me.
Right. Or even makes him a successful NFL quarterback, but gives him a lower ceiling.
Immediately. Yeah. I think he eventually gets where he needs to go.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to create a narrative. I don't quite even agree with, but just with the way Urban Meyer is actually being, and then hearing this from the team is quite concerning, and they're comparing it to being coached like high school kids.
Right.
And it's just not flying. You know, we've got adults in there, you know, like from college level up to 35, 37 years old, you know, and they're saying they're being coached like high school kids.
Yeah, this is not what you want to hear this early in a season, because when you start losing, like, none of these guys want to lose. I don't think anyone in the Jaguars thinks they're going into the playoffs or the Super Bowl, but they still don't like to lose. Any one of those players does not like to lose. And if the players aren't put in a good position to succeed, that's their money. So now, if you think it's bad now, when they get out there and they start losing games, it will get worse. So if the culture isn't right now, rolling into a season, it only can get worse. I'm not saying there aren't pieces on this offense that'll do very well. They'll be fantasy relevant, all that fun stuff. But if the coach is a problem, especially in a sport like the NFL, it can really hurt a lot of these assets, even somebody quote unquote generational like Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, absolutely. Really quick before we get out of here, not as sexy, Tyrod Taylor, Davis Mills. Do we see Davis Mills this year?
I don't think so.
No.
No,
all Tyrod Taylor all year long.
I mean,
that makes him such, like, you just made him the biggest dynasty superflex value.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Let's put it this way. Can Tyrod Taylor lose his job because he's Tyrod Taylor and to you know, expect. Let's put it this way. I think Houston doesn't want a high draft pick. Let's start there. So at some point, putting Davis Mills in might make sense. They need to see what they have. But I guess when I was answering that question is more out of concern. Like I think Davis Mills is somebody that could very likely just go away. Mm. I didn't come in. I have Davis Mills in a few leagues as a flyer and super flex, of course, but I don't know, man, like the word out of camp and even in these preseason, the pictures that we've been having. What's that?
Hasn't looked great.
No, it really hasn't. And, you know, we'll see, but no, I'm not super optimistic about that situation. So Tyrod Taylor, I think would be a value. I think Tyrod Taylor is undervalued period and has been most of his career. If what happened to him last year hadn't happened by accident, you know, who knows? Like, I think we would see him in a slightly different light because I think the Chargers was a nice spot for him. You know, even if it was just six games before Herbert came around or something like that, he's just so out of sight, out of mind right now that he just seems forgotten. But somebody's going to play there, and it's absolutely going to be him to start. I don't think they're going to say, no, let's put Mills in now. But I do see a scenario where they basically tank the way the NFL does. Again, the NFL doesn't really tank the way they do in other sports, but I could see Mills starting six games at the end of the season to ensure that they get a nice juicy pick.
Superflex Dynasty, 32-year-old Cam Newton or 32-year-old Tyrod Taylor?
Why do you ask these questions that make me sick?
This is rookie fever, dude. This, don't ask me this.
I don't really know. Can I say neither?
You can.
I don't want either of them.
Did you vote?
So you know what? No, I didn't. No. So I guess the way to look at that is that's redraft. So in redraft, who would I rather have? Would I rather have Tyrod Taylor this season or Cam? I'm going to go Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, I think
so he starts more games, so I'll go Tyrod Taylor.
That's weird, huh?
I'm not answering that in Dynasty because I don't give a shit. But yep. in 2021, meaning like this season, Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah. No, I think it's kind of the same though, because you don't know what's going to happen with anybody's career after this year for
that's why those particular players,
the style of play they've had, where they go next. You know, it hasn't been good for either of them to land a job. We've seen that. So
absolutely.
I think on that note, we get out of here. We've wanted to talk about some quarterbacks for a while now.
Yeah.
We also want to mention too, we do have the Rookie Fever store open now. It's at Teespring, actually. We've been tweeting it out so you can get the links that way. If you're not on Twitter, it's actually going to be in the, I'll put it in the show description so you could click on it from there if you're interested too. So you can actually go there right now while you're listening. Click on that link, check it out. We've got some stuff, trying to keep those prices as cheap as we can.
They're really low. And, I haven't seen t-shirt prices that low. That's
gotta love it, huh? Well, we're rookies at this, so maybe we're messing up.
Yeah, maybe
it's rookie fever.
There's like zero profit margin on these items, but you have a lot of the great things in the store. We got coffee mugs, sweatshirts, t-shirts, all of it. Anything you would expect to be there is there.
I made one with a smaller logo for you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I like the understated look. Yeah. And we got both styles of the Rookie Fever logo. We got the breakout version where the waveforms are thrown out to the left and right. And then we have the traditional one that you see on your Podbean or iTunes account right now, which is the classic circle. But check out the store. Look at the breakout version. I have a breakout version myself. I know Swags does. And check out the store, man.
Spaceman does. I am at Swagzilla0G on the Twitterverse. He is at ArtBarkTV in the same place, at FF_Spaceman and at FF_SpacePen.
Oh, yeah.
There probably is a Space Pen somewhere on Twitter. It probably doesn't have the FF, though.
No, definitely not.
They are not our official sponsor, but you should check out Space Pens. They're pretty sweet.
I heard you got
an introduction to them at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I heard you can freeze those and they still work.
That's a lot. Maybe go 5-star review the show for the extra news on the Space Pens. Something.
Yeah.
Follow at Rookie Fever on Twitter. We are out. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, fever all through.
And you're going on a treat you ride, rookie fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever, fever, fever all through the night. Everybody's got the fever. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing.
Got the one-on-one scouting, it's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone, size and speed, just unreal landing spot, not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet, Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my friend. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with that flame in you. Fever. I'm a fire, fever, yeah, I burn for soup.
So who's got the fever? Cause I got the fever, now you got the fever. So she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Now you got the fever, now you got the fever. Now you got the fever, now you got the fever.